You're listening to a special Stumptown trade review from Stumptown Comics Fest. We are here today with Kenan Rubenstein.
That's right. Well done.
He is a big influence on us here on the podcast. He has created the Foldy comic. Tell us a little bit about this Foldy comic revolution that you have started.
Oh, I certainly didn't mean to start a revolution. Okay.
That wouldn't explain the beret and the cigar you're chomping.
No, what does that have to do with anything? So it's a comic made on a single sheet of paper. It's folded four times. I hope that's right. Four times. And so the first page is 2 inches by 3 inches. And every time you turn the page, it doubles in size. And the next page is twice the size of the previous page until the final page is a full side of the 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. And hopefully, if I'm doing the correctly, the story unfolds along with the physical piece of paper.
And so what kind of challenges do you find creating in this sort of confines of a format like this?
Well, there's obviously a space challenge that, you know, you have a very finite space in which to tell the story, and you sort of decide whether you're going to sacrifice bits of dialogue or bits of the visuals to fit everything in. But there's also a challenge of every time you unfold the piece of paper, you want that to be happening for a motivated reason as far as the story is concerned. And so you want a beat to change every time you fold the piece of paper and to sort of feel like you're in a new place, either narratively or setting-wise or something like that.
And now, how many of these have you produced so far?
I just finished my fourth for this festival. I had it printed yesterday. always working at the last second.
And so these comics, I know that they have sort of a loose narrative to them.
Yeah, I try to make them stand alone so that they're a dollar each. I just want people to buy them. I give a lot away, and so I want them to stand alone. So it's like a little self-contained story on a single piece of paper. But they do, they are working towards a broader narrative about a year of my life.
And so how many do you see coming out here? Is this an ongoing thing for you, or is there...
I try to do one for each festival, so I always have something new to trade people or show people. And I think maybe 15 or something like that when the whole story's done. I've got maybe another 8 already sort of mapped out. I'll sort of see where it goes.
Fantastic. And so this isn't the only thing you do, though. Tell us a little bit about some of your other projects that you have.
Okay. I have a big comic called Tick. That's a story about a boy who builds himself a robot boy to keep himself company. And it's it takes place over the course of a year, and it's laid out like a calendar. And you flip through the year and the story as you would a calendar, like a wall-hanging calendar. And then I do some prints of some drawings. I did a lot of drawings around my neighborhood in New York for a guidebook, and that's what I do.
All right, so now where could someone find your Foldy comics or Tick or any of your other projects?
All of my work is on my website. It's called underthehaystack.net, and it's sort of a sketchbook blog, and I put my ideas up there and my new comics and my new drawings and prints and all that stuff.
Fantastic. And then also you have another website that is showing off some of the Foldy comics. And I was joking about calling it a Foldy comic revolution, but you know, since we first saw your comics last year, others have sort of jumped on board with this.
Yeah, Reed Saltis does them. He's a great, great artist. And my table mate here, Josh Shalek, who does Falling Rock National Park, just made one. And some other people, I've had some people come up to me at festivals and be like, oh, I made one. I got yours last year. Like, here I have this. So whenever I get them, I put them up on a website called foldycomics.com. You can read them up there, and I'm going to put up buy now buttons too so people can sell them off of it. And definitely if anyone tries them, like, I would love to see them, and I'll put them up on the site.
All right. Thanks a lot. Well, enjoy the con, and it's been a pleasure talking to you.
You too. Thanks for stopping by.
You're listening to a special Stumptown trade review coming to you from the Stumptown Comics Fest. We are here today with Stephanie Godfrey, who has created quite the comic here. It's called Panorama. And when unfurled, how long is this comic? It's
13 feet long.
13 feet long. So tell us a little bit about Panorama.
Well, Panorama is all about a journey that I made. I'm originally from Perth, West Australia, and I made a journey all the way out to Monument Valley by myself. And there was a lot of shenanigans along the way. And when I went all the way there, and then I went all the way back. And now, just recently, I decided to write the story about it. And people ask me why I did it. It's actually 20 panoramic panels joined end-to-end, so it folds out like a concertina. And the word, the definition of panorama means a mental vision of a series of events. So when I look back on that time when I went out there, I actually see it in like panoramic panels. And I also had a panoramic camera, which somewhat helped. So I made it, I gave myself a brief that I would keep the story told in panoramic panels. And I did, and I pulled it off. And what can I say? It's a long story, but a good story.
Well, and it's got quite a lot of buzz behind it. It's actually nominated for the 4th Annual Trophy Awards here. What category is it nominated in?
It's up for Best Do-It-Yourself, DIY, and also the Best Publication Design.
Wow.
Yeah, I had to, because it folds out so long, I had to make a little envelope so that when people took it home, it didn't like completely destroy itself in the bag. And so it comes in its own little sleeve, a pocket, a panoramic pocket. And yeah, so definitely if you're here at the show, go down, vote, get your ballot, put your name in, and yeah, that's my little doozy.
So I guess the real question is how does someone from Perth, Western Australia, end up in Monument Valley, Utah? That's a little bit of a just took a wrong turn.
Well, the funny thing was, I mean, the story is about ever since I was a teenager, I've had a fascination with Monument Valley. And if you're from Perth, Perth is as far as you can go without coming back. So in order for me to, I so wanted to go, and I had a two-week opportunity, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. I didn't have anyone with me, and I booked a flight, and I decided to go and trek all the way out to, I went to Vegas, and then I went out to Monument Valley, and then I got there, and I saw how beautiful it was, and I literally just turned around and went all the way back. And it took me 2 weeks, but it was one of those kind of coming of age, doing it, like getting out in the world and knowing that I could do that. And yeah, so I did, and now I made a little book about it.
Fantastic. So if people enjoy Panorama, what else can they look for from you?
Well, I'm working on a new one called Window, and it's all about a woman that's trapped in a room, and all she can see is a window. And I'm hoping to do it much the same as Panorama, so it's all going to be in series of four, like a window is going to look like a window panel. Kind of keep the same theme of the title being the way it's packaged and all that sort of stuff. And it'll be another short mini. And yeah, it's all about how she eventually comes out of the room and why the window's there. So yeah, that's my next one.
Fantastic. And if people just don't happen to end up at Stumptown Comics Fest, where can they find your books?
Absolutely. I have my website is Girl Godfrey, G-I-R-L-G-O-D-F-R-E-Y, Girl Godfrey. You can go to my website, or you can go to Etsy, which also links from my website, and you can buy it. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, thank you very much, and have a great con.
Thank you.
You're listening to a special Stumptown Trade Review coming to you from the Stumptown Comics Fest. We are here with Ed Choi Moorman. Nice to sit down with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
So you are here with a couple of different books today. Let's start with the first one, which is Ghosts. I believe it's part of an anthology, Ghost Stories?
Ghost Comics, yes. Yeah, it's a benefit anthology for a drug addiction treatment facility in Minneapolis, where I used to live. And there's a huge range of style and substance, from really wild experimental stuff to really funny, cartoony work, and includes kind of alt comics, people like Jeffrey Brown, Lucy Nisley, Hobb, David Heatley, Zach Sally, John Porcellino, King Cat, all kind of coming together for this cause.
And so tell us a little bit about the story you have in there.
The story I have is an autobiographical story called Dear Dave, which is about my cousin who died of an overdose. It's kind of a letter to him and kind of recounting the experiences that we had, talking about music and comics, talking about The Replacements, so the Minneapolis staple, and the connections between places where Minneapolis, where I lived at the time, where The Replacements and Husker Du and all those great post-punk bands were from, and Chicago, where he had passed, where I was about to be moving, and kind of the weirdness surrounding that. So,
and so, you know, to sort of stick with the theme, you also have here Stitching Together, which is a sort of a memoir or a biography of the life and death of Jim Henson.
Yeah, it's a big theme of death with my comics, kind of inescapable. My Website is edsdeadbody.com, and my small press publishing imprint is Bare Bones Press. So, yeah, it's like you said, it's a short biography of Jim Henson and the process that he went through to create the Muppets, the breakthroughs that he made, and also how accidentally so many comics that I had made in my young life as a cartoonist had been related to the Muppets, and ends with me being able to go to the town where he lived, in Leland, Mississippi, where there's a small memorial exhibit for him. It's not a museum, and they're kind of careful not to say that, because it's a little tiny shack over a creek. So it's this wonderful humbleness to it. It's a little broken down thing to celebrate a guy who really came from that. And
I'd say that kind of matches his life, because, I mean, part of the reason that he died is he was actually going to the hospital, but instead of wanting to, you know, push sort of to the head of the line, he you know, went to another entrance or something. Wasn't that part of the story?
Well, the story has kind of been twisted a lot. A lot of people believe that it was because he was a Christian Scientist that he didn't believe in medication. But it is a lot like you're saying. It does have to do with his humbleness and his kind of inability to want to be first, because for a long time he just believed himself that he was going to get better. It had happened so quickly, and he thought it was nothing more than a cold or the flu, and his ex-wife was taking care of him when he was sick, and she said, "I want to take you to the hospital," and he says, "No, I don't want to bother anybody." And it got to a certain point, and he kind of acquiesced when he realized it wasn't going to go away. But it was also, I read a report from the doctor who had treated him, and it was a very strange, unique strain of, I believe, pneumonia. And it was something that really sprang upon, and they had difficulty treating, and, you know, very quickly it's too late.
And so the other book you have here is actually amazingly about someone living, and that's Chris Ware. Tell us a little bit about your Chris Ware book.
It's called Chris Ware, Paper Musician, and it's a little comic format essay. Just as with the Jim Henson story, it was sparked from a class assignment from Zach Selle, the Minneapolis College of Art and Design. And it's about why I think he's become what he has to people, and why his work is special, which is the respect that he treats the reader with, and kind of all the work that he asks the reader to do piecing together, which is so the opposite of the kind of Hollywood structure, which is treat the reader like an idiot and hand them everything. He knows that the reader is intelligent and treats them that way, which I think is the key to his popularity. But yeah, he's a good dude. Yeah,
fantastic. All right. Well, thanks a lot for sitting down with us today. Where can people find your books again?
Is this a Portland specific podcast?
Well, we are. We're going to say we're global. How's that? So anybody, if they're looking for your book, where could they find your stuff?
Well, different shops around the country. Here in Portland, they're at Floating World, edsdeadbody.com, which is my website, and through a few different distro centers, Quimby's online. It's a Chicago-based store where I live now, and yeah, different stores.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate you sitting down with us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.